Niagara in the Morning with Tim Dennis on News Talk 610 CKTB.
18 minutes past 8 o'clock, 610 CKTB on a Wednesday morning. The election in the U.S. reminds a lot of people of some of the issues that came up during the 1960s at the height of the civil rights movement. There were elections in 64 and 68. People talked about the civil rights being the number one issue in those days. It didn't necessarily show up in terms of top of mind during this election, but it was there underlying the whole thing. Tammy Friedman is a Brock Professor of History and joins us this morning. Professor, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Was it as front and center as it was in the 60s in terms of race during this election, do you think?
I believe so, yes. I completely agree with your statement about that. And I think that we also are seeing that reflected in the results, which are not in yet, as you know.
Right.
So let me address a couple of things about that. I think it is really important for people to keep in mind how deeply divided Americans are across racial lines in particular, as well as lines of ethnicity and immigrant status. I think we have very much seen that reflected in the lead up to the election. But I also want to emphasize that this has a very long history. It's rooted in slavery. It's rooted in the reestablishment of white supremacy after a period following slavery in the U.S. South. It's rooted in anti-immigrant sentiment and is very deeply embedded. And these kinds of divisions were not addressed. They weren't resolved, I guess I would say, by the civil rights and voting rights legislation of the 1960s. And that's to a great extent why we are where we are now,
yeah,
I would argue.
I mean, a lot of people will think, oh, well, you know, slavery ended in such and such a year, but they forget that then the black vote was suppressed for many, many years. They started to test people based on their ability to write and base things on, well, all sorts of things in order to keep the black vote down. And then in the 1960s, they thought that the Civil Rights Act would change that, but it didn't.
Yes, I think that here again, you are absolutely spot on. Many people do believe that the Voting Rights Act of 1964, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 resolved these issues. Voting rights have been eroded over time, especially in the last decade or so. And just for a little bit of background, those federal laws that were designed to protect the civil rights, particularly of African Americans and also their voting rights, those were supposed to ensure that the individual states could not impose restrictions on voting if the intent and the outcome of those restrictions was to prevent black Americans from voting. As you've referred to, state laws, local customs didn't say you cannot vote if you are black. They said everybody, you have to pay a fee in order to vote. You have to be able to read the state constitution, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Those federal laws came in, the states continued to struggle for other ways to prevent African Americans from voting through, for example, gerrymandering, which is redrawing of districts to make sure that black communities couldn't elect black representatives. And more recently, we've seen court rulings at the federal level that allow more of this. So in the last decade or so, we've seen states imposing things like a voter identification card requirement, limiting polling places, making it harder for people to register. Voting is difficult and complicated in a lot of places. And I also just want to point out that the Republicans right now have not only pushed for that and at the level of states, but are actually continuing right now to challenge votes that have already been cast in several states. So we've really seen an erosion of the rights that you're talking about.
Yet racial voting doesn't always turn out the way you and I have talked about either, because in places like Florida, where there is a significant racial vote, the Latino vote has come out for Trump in a lot of ways, which is kind of the opposite to what a lot of people would have thought 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One, I would just note, and I think that many Canadians may be aware of this, is that there's a large Cuban-American population in Florida, that has trended towards support for Republicans over the years, although younger generations of that population are not necessarily following in their parents and grandparents' footsteps. Florida is also an interesting case because by state referendum, voters in Florida several years ago re-enfranchised people who had had felony convictions. But the state government has now made it more difficult for those ex-convicts to vote. So we have struggles over that. But you're absolutely right. I think it's important for people not to see Latino voters as a monolithic group. They have we see different interests, different mm-hmm. experiences, different levels of economic status yep. in different parts of the country. And the economic status piece of this, I think, is something that is not addressed enough as much as it should be.
As a history professor, do you look at the American election and say that our friends to the South are more divided than they have ever been? Or is that just too overarching a statement?
I don't think this is necessarily more... I don't think that the racial division is necessarily more of a problem than it has been in the past, which is to say that it's a problem with a very long and deep history that simply has not been resolved, despite what people think about legislative action and the efforts of the civil rights movement in the 60s. I think we are seeing an intensification in public spaces of that conflict. And various commentators have made comparisons between the Black Lives Matter protests, for example, and the activism of the 1960s. So I think there are some parallels there. I would say there is something I would like to note here, and it's related to my own research, and that has to do with what appears to be an intensification of support for politicians like Donald Trump among white working class Americans. I do think it's important to note, in my view, I think this reflects in part a decline in the economic status of many white working class Americans since the 1970s, the loss of industry, deregulation of business, privatization of public services, policies that have really hurt many people, American who not only blame people of color for their economic problems, or not to blame for those problems, but also don't see the Democratic Party offering much of an alternative. As you probably and your listeners probably know, it was Bill Clinton who oversaw the signing of the original NAFTA agreement, and that hurt a lot of people. So I think in that sense, we see in the last couple of generations new developments that have made many white working class Americans less interested in supporting the Democratic Party and more hostile toward people of color and immigrants, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Listen, Professor, we're just out of time. Thank you for this.
Thank you so much.
Tammy Friedman is a history professor at Brock. Lots of opinions today. Everybody's got an opinion, yet we don't know anything more. It's funny because a few minutes ago during the news, I flicked on a couple of TV stations, and they were interviewing states and cities, the people in charge of the vote, and behind them were the rooms where the voting was going on, and they were empty because they hadn't started voting. They hadn't started counting the votes again until 8 o'clock this morning in some areas. And of course, that'll be later in different time zones. That's why you're not hearing any different numbers this morning, because they're not going to start tabulating the votes again until this morning. And then we'll begin to hear some more. And as I say, we're not going to get any sense of who's a winner for a little bit yet.